We wouldn't be able to keep this archive going without your support. Donate online today at WYXR.org.
On 91.7 FM, Memphis.
Welcome once again to the Dagger Mount Radio Hour. We're coming to you tonight from the Powerhouse Arts Center off the square in Oxford, Mississippi. Thank you. Welcome to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. As we mentioned, we're at the Powerhouse Arts Center just off the square in Oxford, Mississippi. Fine show for y'all tonight. We've got the winner of the D.C. Barry Award, some cool poetry we're going to hear to get things going. Fine acoustic duo, Clay Parker and Jody James are going to play for us. Yeah, they're great. We've got Taliba Sophia from Memphis, Tennessee, a very soulful young lady who has taken some of the old hits from Jesse May Hemphill and Junior Kimbrough and R.L. Burnside and updated them a little bit and put some of that contemporary soul on them. So we look forward to having Taliba. And also, as I mentioned, our author today, Ashley Elston. Ashley Elston from Shreveport, Louisiana, who I believe is finishing up her 13th week on the New York Times bestseller list for Unbelievable. We will be talking to Ashley. But we've got our own bestsellers right here, y'all. Please bring them to the stage. Our beloved house band, the Yellow Bushwhackers.
you getting down wrong. Don't you lie to me. No, no, don't you lie to me. 'Cause it makes me mad, and I get evil as a man can be. Oh, don't you lie to me.
Don't lie to me.
Yeah, the Bushwhackers, y'all. One more time for them, please. Best live radio band in the land, y'all. Thank y'all, gentlemen. Thank you so much for getting us going. Alrighty, our first guest this evening, as I mentioned, the D.C. Berry Award. This is an award that was founded in 2012 by the poet D.C. Berry. He endowed this award, and the University of Mississippi Department of English Master of Fine Arts program has been keeping it going. And the entrance in this contest is prose or poetry. They would like for it to be humorous, possibly, or compelling, certainly. And we've had the winner on, I think, every year since they've offered it, since 2012 this year. No exception. This year's winner is with us this evening. Y'all please welcome Marina Greenfield.
Thank you, and thank you to Thacker for having me. This poem is called An Entreaty. Oh, quick pleasure of rejection. Two girls who sit and ask to pray for me, munificent specters of the student union, and always too obvious, my unblessed, my unwatched out for. I hoard my thorns, prick my skin and pick my teeth with them, suck on bloody gums. I do not want clean gauze of cotton mouths, their voices that cauterize without pain. I watch them turn and help another to ascend. I shred a tendon of faith from end to end. Oh, benevolent nuisances, if you could show me how to stitch the hole, if you could teach me a language that is listened in, at my earliest convalescence, I would learn. Thank you.
Marina Greenfield, great job. Thank you for being here. All right. You can tell your folks, yes, I followed the world-famous Yellow Bushwhackers. They'll be impressed. All right. Our next guest, y'all, Carrie Parker and Jody James. Fine harmonies and great acoustic music. Their album is called Your Very Own Dream. I love it. Rolling Stone Country. They're sick of this quote. Unassuming but mesmerizing back porch music. And we go for that back porch vibe sometimes, don't we? We love it. Y'all please welcome Carrie Parker and Jody James.
It's fire for the water, and water for the tea. Tea for a taste of bitter, don't it go down easy for me. Don't it go down easy for me. Now come on, come along, buddy. Come along, come little mule. The banks of the levee are muddy, but the queen of the river keeps rule, yeah. Queen of the river keeps rule. You got a buzzing little heartbeat and a midnight special mind. Ain't it funny when the honey is too sweet? Ain't it sad getting further down the line, Lord? Sad getting further down the line. With fire for the water and water for the tea. Tea for a taste of bitter. Don't it go down easy for me? Don't it go down easy for me? I'll mohair, rhinestone, and tassel, and a hurl of worries in the can. How'd it get to be such a hassle just to die like a steel driving man, man? Die like a steel driving man. No, I wished I could drive your turnpike, Lord, I wished I could cross your sea, just to see what it would be like not to do it all for free, yo. Not to do it all for free. Well, I could be just like you, and you could be a little something like me. And I could be a friend of but a very few. Two or if you take it, then three, babe. Two or if you take it, then three. Now you should have seen the captain with his hand on the barrel head. Oh, you should have seen what happened when they heard what the captain said. Oh, heard what the captain said. Set a fire for the water and water for the tea. Tea for a taste of bitter. Don't it go down easy for me? Don't it go down easy for me? With fire for the water, oh, water for the tea. Tea for a taste of bitter. Don't it go down easy for me? Don't it go down easy for me? Don't it go down easy for me? Don't it go down easy for me?
Thanks a lot, yo. Thanks a lot. Well, this is Jody James, and I'm Clay Parker. We are Clay Parker and Jody James.
We rehearsed that just for this show.
Nothing at all. so I'm playing all the same sad tunes, and then January turns to June, and all the winter coats are all boxed up. I got books stacked on the bedside table that are gonna make me well and able, but the light in my room is still if you would have called, more of the same, nothing at all, oh, nothing at all. Is it gone beyond all space and time? I watched it spin and spin for years on end. And some rags will wash out clean. You just throw them in this big machine, and everything is new and bright again. But I would have came if you would have called, more of the same, nothing at all.
Thanks. Thank you all so much.
Well, we just put out a new record this past January. It's called Your Very Own Dream. And we're going to do the title track off of that record. It's called Your Very Own Dream.
We practiced that too.
The crow flew straight into the horse's face today, and I heard the news that they were hauling you away. Sometimes it feels like a joke that's a little too mean. Sometimes there's no escaping from your very own dream. I
somebody tries to say something worthwhile, but everybody searches for that same old smile. Well, anybody here could see the spoon in the old moonbeam, but nobody knows your waist down naked in your very own dream.
Thanks a lot, y'all.
Thank y'all so much.
Clay Parker, Jody James, y'all. Let her hear them. Let them hear you. Beautiful. Clay Parker, Jody James, Your Very Own Dream. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. That back porch vibe, it'll get you every time. That is beautiful. Thank y'all for being here. Like to remind you, you're listening to us. You're listening to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour, coming to you today from the Powerhouse Arts Center, just off the square in Oxford. You're hearing us on WUMS, University of Mississippi Radio, WYXR, Community Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, the stations of Mississippi Public Broadcasting, stations of Alabama Public Radio, WUTC, Community Radio in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. WUOT, Community Radio in Knoxville, Tennessee, and the good folks at KNCE, True Taos Radio in Taos, New Mexico. Oh, boy. Also our sponsors, Carol Etheridge Family Foundation, Dr. Stephen and Gay Case, Larry and Michael Johnson Family Foundation, the Mississippi Arts Commission, R&B Fader Foundation, Snooki and Mary Lou Williams Foundation, Water Valley, Mississippi. Just on. It continues on. Southside Gallery, the good folks at Square Books, Taproot Audio Design, yes, yes. The Lyric Oxford, the University of Mississippi, Visit Oxford, and the good folks at Yakutat-Bethalpha Arts Council. We appreciate them. I hope y'all caught some art earlier. Yakutat-Bethalpha Arts Council. You too can be a Thacker Backer. Way bunch of information and some cool photos at our website, thackermountain.org. Keon Love, y'all. He is Keon Keenan. All righty, our next guest is author Ashley Elston. She has written 4 young adult novels and decided she would try her hand at adult fiction. And my first thought was, what'd you have to do, dumb it down? But and so she changes agents, changes publishers, tries this new genre of adult fiction, comes out with this novel, First Lie Wins, and bada bing, bada boom, as we look today, ladies and gentlemen, the 14th week on the New York Times bestseller list, sitting there at number 13, a lucky number. There are 2 scenes in this book, we'll be talking about it, set right here in good old Oxford, Mississippi. You are from Shreveport, Louisiana?
I am.
Well, we love you anyway. Y'all please welcome Ashley Elston.
Thank y'all for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're delighted to have you. The New York Times has given you the great review. They also did a second article on you. That's when you really know you're hitting big. And they were fascinated, as I know the audience will be, in your butcher paper. You plotted this whole thing out with sticky notes on butcher paper. Like,
yes.
Tell us about your book, which got its own article in the New York Times.
It did. Yeah. I was a little surprised. I'm like actually waiting for Post-it to like sponsor me, but
yeah, exactly.
I've not heard from them yet. So Post-it, I'm available. But yeah, so it's sort of like a cheat sheet, right? And so I don't plot the book out that way. I write a whole big mess, and then I try to go figure it out with the sticky notes. And so I have this really long piece of butcher paper that hangs in my office, and you know, every chapter has its own note, and then if there are things that have to be fixed or things that don't make sense or a plot hole, I put another little sticky note. So, and they're all color coordinated because I'm weird like that. But it, you know, and so it's like a roadmap. I can sit there, and if like there's a bunch of notes around chapter 10, I'm like, well, chapter 10's struggling a little bit. It's going to need some attention. And so it's very visual. I was a photographer for years, and so I'm, you know, I like to look at it. I want to see the whole thing because it's really hard when you have like a, you know, 80,000 word document to be like, wait, where was that one part I'm looking for? And so sort of my way to make it a little bit easier.
And now you mentioned you were a photographer. You were, in fact, a wedding photographer for years.
Yes.
And it just strikes me that you saw these folks, you know, on the best day of their lives, starting on a road to matrimony, and your first novel is about people cheating each other. I'm just wondering.
I mean, I'm with them the whole day. I mean, you know, you see a lot. I'm just, no, it's, you know, no, it was a great business. It was fun. I enjoy photography. I still love photography, you know, and it was a great business to have when my kids were young because most of the work's on the weekend. And I think it was a good foundation for writing because I watched people for, you know, the whole day in one of their biggest days with a lot of emotion and a lot of things going on. And you see the good, you see the bad, sometimes you see the ugly, you know, but you see it. It's real. the behind the scenes. And so it really, you know, I learned a lot about how people act in certain situations. And, you know, when that emotion comes out, you know, is their face saying the same things that their words are? You know, not always. And so, you know, it doesn't seem like a likely transition to writing, but looking back, I can see that it was a pretty good foundation.
Yeah, I would like to see the divorce rate on the people you took pictures of.
I used to keep track. I'd be like, what column are y'all in? No, but
sticky notes, right?
Yeah, yeah, I have a whole other board for that, yeah.
In this book, you sort of cover a nice gamut, and we have to be very careful. And we're always careful on our plot details, but this book in particular, it is a con artist, and the con artist has associates that are helping her with the con, we can say that.
They're all bad.
And the people who are getting con, just like the old Mission Impossible show, which you cannot possibly remember, but it was great, as I recall. I'll see them now, it'll probably be horrified. But each one kind of deserves conning, and you've got an oil tycoon, you've got a candidate for governor in Tennessee, and you've got a football coach from Ole Miss.
Well, he didn't start there. He ended up there. He came from Florida, and that's when he was bad. He was bad.
That's where he got corrupted, y'all.
He came here, and it was all good, right?
Well, again, not to give much away. He's one of the only ones that actually didn't do anything wrong.
Yes.
Actually, it's weird. Yes. He's the cleanest one of the bunch. Wouldn't you know it, right?
Yeah. I like a good twist. I mean, yeah.
But you can do a little bit of politics and how that works. And the oil tycoon has a painting, so there's a little bit of the art world, underworld. Mm-hmm. And the football business is set 6, 7, 8 years ago, mm-hmm. before we could pay them in you know, above board,
right.
When we were still sneaking the old money.
Yes. That's when it worked for my plot, and then they had to go and like make it legal, and so that a little bit of a monkey wrench in my book, but we addressed it, and it's fine. It's fine.
I saw in an interview with you, and again, this thing is so plotted, and these great characters, and you sold it, sold the manuscript. It's going to be published, and then you have to call them back and say, "I've changed who the bad guy is."
Yeah,
that's pretty wild.
It is. But, you know, I do feel like if it's a change that's necessary, you got to make it at any point of the process. This happened to be pretty late in the process. I was a little bit nervous to say, you know, we're in our first round of edits, and I've already sold it to ABC Signature, but I'm fixing to change who the bad guy is. But once I kind of explained my reasoning and they agreed with me, you know, we just kind of put a little bit extra work and got it done. But it was just very important to me to get it right. And so there was a lot of edits. It was a lot of work. And some of that's because it's complicated. And, you know, one little change is sort of like this snowball effect where so many other things changed that were not a problem, but now they were because you took one little thing out. But, you know, that's where my board comes in handy, my sticky notes.
Oh, yeah.
It's all good.
It was particularly chilling to me. You have a section there where they hack into, it may be the governor's candidate's phone, and whoever hacks into it can see exactly what the person they're hacking sees on their phone.
Mm-hmm.
Every
like a
message,
mirror.
Every, mm-hmm. And that technology or that ability exists in what
according
we...
According to the internet, it does. So I say yes, because it works for me, yes.
I feel like I've seen that or heard that if you know what you're doing, super hacker,
yes,
they can see exactly what you're seeing. Same thing with your social media.
Yeah, well, I feel like, you know, most all of those things are possible. Does the regular person know how to do it? Probably not, but I feel like somebody could make that happen. But, you know, research is an interesting thing. You know, do you believe everything on there? No, but you find something that works for you, you're like, yes, I totally, that works, I believe it.
Yeah, we found out now that the police and any kind of law enforcement, the first thing they do now is go to Google, just like the rest of us, and see if there's a Facebook page.
Yes.
And sort of the stalking thing.
Yes.
You went on Instagram. You're a big Instagram person.
It is my preference of all the social medias, yes.
Yeah.
I do
and like you
Instagram.
You found a way, and it's in the book, that the con crew uses it to communicate. They like a certain thing, and they use code.
They follow the same accounts and can comment on the accounts that are, you know, kind of public brand things. And when you scroll, if you have common followers, you'll see that comment. And so it's a way, I used it as a way for them to communicate that could not be traced back. But I stumbled upon that kind of accidentally because, of course, I'm scrolling through Instagram and my friend Missy, like, leaves a comment on a post. I was like, why is she commenting on that post? And then I was like, why do I see it? And so we tested it out. I was like, you go follow this account. I'm going to do the same. I'm going to comment and see if you see it. It worked. I was like, oh, yeah, totally works. So
and use it. You could actually put it to nefarious use.
Yeah, as you do not believe how many people have sent me messages like, oh, my God, after reading that, like, that's all I see now. Or the people I know's comments. I was like, you're welcome.
Man. First lie wins. Do we dare? Can you give us the short PG version?
The PG version.
What first lie wins? It's very evocative. What is it? Where does that come from?
It is an old saying. Titles are hard, and, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. You know, same thing kind of applies to the title. Everybody does. And so, you know, the title's really important. So every time I'm working on a new book, I'm like, you know, what's the title? And I start Googling things that are maybe, you know, give me some inspiration or an old saying or something that I can use. And so this was no different. And I was kind of putting in lies and lying and those kind of things and went down this rabbit hole of there was a show, Catherine the Great, that was pretty recent. And I had not seen the show, but it talks about poor Catherine the Great and this really horrible rumor that dogged her for most of her life. I will let you Google that since this is the PG version. But it was sort of said in the show, you know, once that really strong, powerful lies out there, you cannot get rid of it. You can't pull it back in. There will be some people that you'll never convince that that's not true. And I thought, well, okay, that totally works for what I'm trying to go, because a good con artist, that's really, you know, they say it loud enough with enough confidence, people believe it, and that's how they get their work done. And so it just really worked for what I was going for.
Now, the Butcher paper article in the New York Times mentioned toward the end of it that you were in Oxford. I want to say maybe you were in the Grove for a football game celebrating your 50th birthday.
50th birthday.
And you get some news.
Well, right before we came is when I found out I was going to be the Reese pick for January. And this was October, and we were here for the Ole Miss-Arkansas game. It was a win. So, we were in the Grove. It was my birthday. My sons were all here. We had some friends that were here. And, you know, of course, I was super happy, not because I turned 50, but because I was going to be Reese pick. But I couldn't tell anybody. You know, they tell you the best news ever, but then they're like, but you can't tell anybody. I mean, like, nobody. And so, you know, I was kind of floating on cloud nine, and everybody was like, God, you're turning 50 well. I was like, yeah. All about turning 50. So, yeah, it was a good weekend.
You find out it's the Reese Witherspoon pick. You can't tell a soul.
No. I mean, I did. I ended up telling people, but I waited a little while.
About that third drink, all of a sudden.
I might have made it through the weekend. I'm not sure. But
it's
yeah.
On the Jumbotron at Vaught Hemingway. I'm the Reese Witherspoon pick, y'all. You know.
I mean, can you imagine? Yeah.
And then probably the only thing better than that is Octavia Spencer is connected to your movie, TV show.
Yes, her production company is attached to our project. So, and she's lovely, and she's been a really, really supportive partner. Goes out of her way to, you know, post things about the book. She offered to come to New Orleans. We did an event together. It was really, really fun. And so, yeah, I'm very lucky, very lucky.
Oh, I hope she's as great as she seems
like
she is.
I mean, she really is. She's exactly the way you think she's going to be.
Oh, that's so refreshing.
Yeah.
Now, normally in the show, this is the point where our author would maybe read a little bit from the book. But this book is so explosive, y'all. And there's so much hot stuff. We can't even read any of it. But we can say it starts off with this dinner party scene, and I think that's the first thing you.
That was my first idea for the book. Was this scene? I had this scene in my head. I could see the table. I could see everything on the table. I could see the people around the table. And then I started thinking, well, what would they talk about? And so then start build that conversation. I was like, well, what if there's somebody there that's like up to no good? I mean, just lying. Why? I don't know. She's lying. And so I just wrote it. And I thought, well, there that is. And I liked it. And it worked. But I wasn't real sure. Was she good? Was she bad? I didn't know. But I just really love that scene. And out of all of the edits and all of the changes I did do, that scene probably is almost exactly the way I wrote it the first time.
But when you sat down and started it, you had no idea where it's going. All you knew was somebody is not who they say they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I thought, well, maybe she's undercover and she's a cop. And I'm like, no, she's bad. She's bad. We got to go bad. So
for all you writing students out there and you think, oh, I've got to plot it out and know what I'm doing and have it all outlined.
I mean, I don't recommend the process. It is just my process.
Well, you said you kind of what-ifed your way through it. And then yes. And then what if they did this? And
yeah, well, what if they did this? And then, well, what if that, well, that worked. Okay, well, great. Well, what if she does this? Okay, well, that worked too. I mean, at some point, you have to be like, what's this book about? But, you know, what if gets me pretty far, you know, and what if?
It is a fun ride. That's what it is. And it deserves all the acclaim. And I am so happy for you and the way this has worked out.
Well, thank you.
And Reese Witherspoon and Octavia Spencer and all these folks. And selling it like hotcakes on the bestseller list and coming on Thacker Mountain Radio.
I know. This is
it
super
is
fun.
First
I'm really,
win,
thank
guys.
You.
Ashley Elston, y'all.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Ashley Elston from Pamela Dorman Books and Viking First Lie Wins. And she will join us out front. That's the truth, right? You really will. She'll join us out front and sign copies and talk about Mission Impossible and the movie Body Heat. That's a little more closer to this century. I want to go back and watch that. Book was also compared to that. Apparently there was a big con in that. And you think you've kind of got it figured out, but no. I mean, I was very impressed. So is the reading public, apparently. All right, Taliba, I'm trying to remember, which, you know, that's tough. You were on one of our pandemic shows, right? We didn't get to have you in person. You were nice enough to send in some music for us. So this is first time to be here in person. Man, it's delighted to have you. You've got this new EP out where you update some of these old great kind of High Water Records blues songs, right? Black Magic. And Black Magic itself is an old R.L. Burnside song.
Yes, it's Bad Luck City, and I
redid
it in the
name of
Black Magic.
We were lucky enough to get to know R.L., and he would love you. He would. He totally would. Yeah, absolutely. It is a great EP, y'all. It's called Black Magic. Y'all, please welcome Taliba Sophia.
Yes, indeed. Thank y'all so much for having me. We're going to open up with a track called Jack and Jill. I'm really big on storytelling, so walk with me through the story. Try to see the character. She's very fascinating, and I think you might enjoy what I tell you about her today, okay? Baby,
too bad we gotta go. All these people looking so nice, they thought that they was about to have a good time. I don't look at me crazy, got a room booked up in Vegas. I'm trying to touch your soul, honey. Millie made a group ride, but she can never get me out of your mind. You can't get away from me. This man was made for me. I sugar take you, baby, to be my lawful wedding man. From this moment we stand, to having to hold for richer, for poor, in sickness and health, we parted by death. Cause if you ever try to leave me, well, I'ma shoot you right where you stand. Cause you my man, my man. You can't get away from me. This man was made for me. You can't get away from me. This man was made for me.
Watch out there now. Thank y'all so much. Next, we're going to do one called Have Mercy. Y'all know what that's like, asking for mercy. Out here acting a fool sometimes. But we're doing our best, so we ask for mercy. Thank you. So, I need y'all to help me focus so I don't say none of them, okay? All right. This one's called Papa Please. It's a lot of fun. So have some fun with me, okay? If I hear you snapping, I won't be mad at you. But this is the rhythm, and you gotta keep it. And if you don't have confidence in your rhythm skills, just don't do it. You know? All right. This is what we got here.
Come!
We made it!
I'm up here. Oh, we done? Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Taliba Sophia, y'all.
Thank you.
So great.
Thank you for
Did
having
you introduce
me.
Your
And this
your
is
man?
Craylon Davis. Craylon Davis playing with me on the bass.
Yes.
And thank you so much, Thacker Mountain, for having me.
Oh, we're delighted to have you. It sounded so good. Thank you so much. One more time for y'all. Taliba Sophia. Woo-wee. Filled this room up. Beautiful voice. And don't you love how she keeps her overhead down? Just the one guy. And it's plenty. It's all you need when you've got a voice like that. We, on the other hand, have the Yellow Bushwhackers, and we love them. We wouldn't think of cutting you guys back. We want to thank Jeremy Clement for helping us out this evening on the drums. Yeah. Of course, Slade Lewis, the backbone on the bass. Keon Love on the keys. Paul Tate up front, our band leader. Ricky Burkhead is helping the percussion group put on their annual spring concert at the Band Hall, which is adjoining Nutt Hall. That's at 7:30. If you happen to be driving by there, swing in and hear some steel drum and some percussion, all under the direction of Dr. Ricky Burkhead. We love that man. Yeah, he's the man. All righty, we'll be our season finale, last show next week at The Graduate. We'll have the Wilkins Sisters, that great gospel sound. We'll also have the big band, all the horns, Mary Frances Massey. Half the band will be in the street next week. It'll be a lot of fun. Y'all come on to The Graduate. We thank you for coming out here, supporting us all year. How much fun has it been? What a great year we've had. We'll see y'all on the radio.
Mountain Radio Hour's executive director is Amanda Weimer. Our production director is Tim Lee. Our broadcast and post-production engineer is Jeffrey Reed. Our front of house engineer is Blake Gardner.
Support for WYXR comes from the Orpheum Theater Group, presenting Rain, a tribute to the Beatles, one night only, Sunday, April 28th. From classics to favorites, the band delivers a concert experience celebrating the timeless music of the Beatles. More information at orpheum-memphis.com. Support for WYXR comes from Team Clean. With more than 22 years of experience, Team Clean provides services for home, work, or studio space. Biodegradable cleaning products mixed with common sense and tailored to each client's needs. Estimates and information at weareteamclean.com.
Mempho presents River Beat Music Festival, coming to the newly renovated Tom Lee Park in downtown Memphis, May 3rd through May 5th, featuring performances by the Fugees, Odessa, Jelly Roll, Black Pumas, Mount Joy, and over 50 artists and DJs on 5 stages. More info at riverbeat.com.